If you would, you can go ahead and go in your Bibles. I'm going to read just for a few moments out of Psalm 98. And I know I haven't got to tell many of you just yet, but can I tell you this morning as I get started, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Love you all, and I'm so grateful you're here in God's house. Psalm 98, as we continue on our series, The Spirit of Christmas, it reads this in the first six verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, because he has done such marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, obviously, a portion of this psalm is prophetic in the fact that it's pointed to Jesus Christ. And you and I, we have received that gift this morning. Amen. Verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. I hope you did that. Don't ever come to church and say, I can't sing out loud because I can't sing. Hey, I sit by a lot of people that are just making a joyful noise, all right? And I'm one of them. Just make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing his praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with the trumpets, with the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. We have much reason to praise him. Amen? Much reason to praise him. We give our praise, we give our worship, we make that joyful noise on this Christmas Sunday because you and I have been given Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God one of us, our Lord and our Savior and our King. I know you know this already, but I hope you know that the greatest and most perfect gift ever given is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God the Son in human flesh, because he's been given to every single one of us. You may have already received a Christmas gift this year, or you may be looking forward to the one that you're going to receive. Can I tell you the most perfect gift you will ever be given is Jesus Christ. The perfect gift was revealed to Mary. We've been here these past few weeks. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. That perfect gift, it was revealed to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. That perfect gift, as we saw week one, revealed to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse number 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that's going to be for every single person who would ever walk and breathe on this planet. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There is no other gift as perfect as the gift of Jesus. Now, you know him. You have a personal relationship with him, so you understand that gift. You understand that in that perfect gift, the power of sin over our lives has been broken. Our sins have been forgiven. Our soul is being restored. Our heart and our mind are daily being renewed with his strength and with his power and with his peace and with his joy and with a life that only he can give. We are so grateful because of the gift of Jesus Christ, that darkness that tries to bring us down, because there's been a lot of it here lately. There's been a lot of darkness here lately. Can I tell you, in all of that darkness, the light of Jesus Christ always shines through because of the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. That star pierced the darkness of the night. And who did we have? We had Jesus Christ to come and light up the way for you and I. You know these scriptures very well. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, the people who walked in darkness, they've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, a prophetic word said, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, and paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I will not forsake them. That's what he does for us, this perfect gift. John 1, 4, you know it well. I've mentioned it quite a bit here lately. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it, has not destroyed it, has not overpowered it. And as much as it tries to do so, the light always penetrates and overcomes the darkness in our lives. John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, they will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. the light of life inside of them. John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And when we're talking about light, we're not just talking about that light that pierces through the darkness, but we're talking about a light that lights up a path to a place where there is broadness, where there is security, a place where you can stand, a place where you can build your life, a place where you can walk. The light of Jesus Christ gives you the clarity on how to follow him in every way and have the peace and joy that only he can give. Amen? The light and the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. When I think about Jesus, when I think about Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, God one of us, God certainly for us, I just ask, I even wrote it down here in my notes, who wouldn't want such a perfect gift? Who would not want such a perfect gift? Now, certainly Christmas is a season of giving because God first gave to us, right? How many times have you heard your pastor say Christmas, and you've seen it all over the signs and over the airways and the shows and all the different songs? Christmas is certainly a season of giving. And that's how we want to live our lives, not just in this season. We want to be givers, right? How many times have you heard the Mrs. Pastor and I talk about, let's not be takers, but let's be givers? And I believe before me there is people that are givers. Your generosity in so many ways, in your time, in your resources, in your praise, in your worship, in your heart, in your passion, you are definitely givers, and this definitely is the season of giving. But let me kind of turn it just a little bit here this morning. It might even catch some of you a little off guard. But just as much as Christmas is about giving, it's also about receiving. Now stay with me just for a moment. I want you to consider the joy of giving is seeing the joy of receiving, right? Why do many of you, perhaps all of you, why are you such givers? Because you like to see what happens in the life of those who are receiving. You know, think about it. When you take time to get a Christmas gift, maybe you've carefully thought it out. Maybe you've had this plan. Maybe you've been working on it for weeks. Maybe it's something you have handmade. Maybe it's one of those moments where you have walked around that little counter that has all the gift cards, and you've walked around it for 10 minutes trying to figure out the perfect gift card, because that's what some of us do, right? So that's okay. You mean well. You took time to think it out. Cracker Barrel, Lowe's, movies. What should I do here? Olive Garden, Los Cabos. You never go wrong with Mexican food. All right, anyway. So you spent all this time, you spent all this energy, and you're excited. You even went to Hobby Lobby and you bought some premium wrapping paper and you wrapped it up because you wanted them to take time to be able to get into it. You have it under the tree and they get there. You love just to give those gifts. I'm getting ready to have grandsons, two grandsons. How crazy is it going to be at Papa Steve's house, right? And Mimi's house. We're going to have a good time. There's two things I splurge on that I'm unapologetic for: vacation and Christmas, because it creates memories like never before, right? So I go a little crazy. Some of you have to bring me down on that. But anyway, it's not going to work. But I absolutely love it. Man, just seeing the joy, I can't wait till they just unwrap whatever it is they're going to unwrap, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it, right? The way that you give, I can imagine Quita Praise this week. When you gave those gift cards and unexpectedly people wasn't ready to receive them, you know, and there you were. Why is that so special? Because the joy of giving, the joy of someone receiving a blessing. It's so much fun to do that. Maybe you've got something prepared for your children or your grandchildren or your wife or your husband or whoever it may be, an unexpected person. I know that most every person in here, you love to give because you love what's on the opposite side of that, and that's seeing someone receive that blessing, right? That's very much a part of it. So when we think about Christmas, let's get back to the spiritual side of it here. Think about the perfect gift that was given to you and I, and the joy that the Father receives when he gives to us and we accept the gift that he has for us. Amen. So Christmas, yeah, it's about giving. It's about blessing, because we certainly want to be givers and we certainly want to bless. Because I have found this out. If you'll just be a giver, God will just keep flowing through you. I was thinking earlier in our earlier service about our food pantry. You know, it's been quite some time back, probably a couple, two or three years ago. Our food pantry had a lot of traffic, and we were thinking, okay, we probably need to kind of put a little bit more tighter parameter on this. We don't want to just entitle, but at the same time, we want to be a blessing. So we kind of had that argument back and forth about what benevolence is. And so we put these parameters up there, and Mary and I were just sitting there one day, and both of us kind of looked at each other and were like, we don't like it. We just don't like it. Don't like all these parameters that we're putting on us, because God will provide and God will bless, and however people use it and whatever people decide to do with it, that's between them and God. We just got to be the one that God needs us to be, and that's the hands and the feet and the voice. And so if God, if you'll just keep giving it to us, we'll make sure it gets out into the right places. When we took on that philosophy, we cannot hardly have enough room for all of our groceries. Tracy has even saw this. Linda sees this now. She helps us out. I mean, yes, there will be times where we have to run and make a grocery run. I cannot tell you how many times we have been overloaded with groceries. Just recently, Mary may have been expecting this. I wasn't, but the school did this big, huge food drive. They pulled up in a small school bus and trucks and just unloaded just tons and tons of food. We had to put it in a different place because we didn't have enough room in our food pantry. We've never been without. We have never, ever been without. We have had more than enough, more than we can almost handle. Why? Because God says, if you'll just be givers and if you'll just be generous and you'll just be my hands and my feet, I'm going to take care of you. How many know that's how God operates? So we want to have that heart. We want to have that spirit. We certainly do, because we know what that's like for the person that's receiving. It's such a blessing to them. And so we come back. Yeah, we want to be givers, but we also want to be able to receive. Now, going back just for a moment to those gifts we all wrap up, can you imagine if you spent time making something or circling that gift card aisle for several minutes trying to figure out the right one, or you wrapped it up in that premium wrapping paper and you were ready to give it and you gave it out to one of your family members or your friends, and they're like, okay, yeah, thanks, I'll open it later. That kind of just take the joy out of the room, right? Or they said, you know what, I really don't need it. You just give it somebody else. You'd be like, well, I got that for you. That's okay, I really don't want it. I mean, I'd be like, take down the tree, you know, take down the lights. Let's put up green. It's St. Patrick's Day. You know, forget Christmas. It'll just steal the joy real quick. You don't want that to happen, right? So again, back to this perfect gift that God gives us. Yes, he wants us to be givers. He wants us to be generous. He doesn't want us to be like takers in life. But he certainly wants us to receive the gift that he has for us. And that gift is Jesus Christ. We know that a gift has no value to the one receiving it if it's not received, if it's not unwrapped, and if it's not used. You see, this morning, on this Christmas Sunday morning, I want you to receive what God has for you. For most of you, you have received him as your Lord and Savior, but he has so much more for you in your life. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you clarity. There's some restoration that needs to happen. There's some deliverance. Some of you, let's just face it, we need to break free from some of those things that have been holding us back. He wants to do that to you. The perfect gift can set your life free in every single way. We see that in Jesus Christ. If we will just take who Jesus is and unwrap all he has for our lives, we're going to find blessing after blessing after blessing. God's goodness, God's kindness, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's power. We're going to find that in that gift if we will just daily choose to take that gift and make it a very much a part of our lives. You see, it's a gift that doesn't wear out, right? Some of our gifts we get, it'll wear out over time. It'll get faded over time. Perhaps you need to replace it over time. The gift of Jesus Christ, it never wears out. Can I even venture out to say that it's new every single day? That it's new and it renews you, it renews your mind, it renews your heart. I mean, I think about this past week, I think about our community, and I think about all the tragedy that we have seen this past Christmas season. And I'm saying to myself, how could we have done that without the gift of Jesus Christ? Because even in the midst of all that tragedy and all that darkness, we have the gift of Jesus who comes and shines in our lives, and he gives us that strength that we need to make it through today, to say the right words, or even when we don't have words to say, he gives us the demeanor to be there for one another, to comfort, to encourage, to help each other out. Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank God that we can gather in his house here today. We can celebrate his name. We can worship him and exalt him, not because we're pushed to do so, because we have a thriving relationship with Jesus because of the gift that God has given to you and I. Can you imagine if today we still had to go by the Old Testament way? Can you imagine how difficult and how hard that would be? Can you imagine just one individual going in and communing with God on your behalf? Aren't you grateful that you don't have to do that anymore? That because of Jesus Christ, at any moment, at any time, you can call upon his name. You can worship him. You can praise him. If you need to cry a little bit, just go ahead, because he feels your pain and he feels your hurt. If you need to just have your victory dance, go ahead and have it, because I believe he dances with us. When we're laughing, I believe he laughs. He receives joy in seeing his people be joyful. He is so good to us in every single way. I'm thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ. And I want to walk in that gift. I want to embrace that gift. I don't want to toss it up on a shelf somewhere and say, oh, I'll use it for later when I'm sick, or I'll use it for later when I'm about to leave this earth, or I'll use it for later when I'm really depressed and don't know what to do. No, I'm going to use this gift of Jesus every single day because he lives inside of me and I want that type of relationship. I think about scriptures, and there's several places I can go to, but different scriptures came to mind when I think about the gift of Jesus inside of our lives. Romans 5:11, in the Amplified Version, it says this: not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation with God, only because of Jesus. You go over into chapter 8, verse number 12. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, because every single day that sinful nature is trying to resurrect itself and try to do something that we know we shouldn't. Because in verse 13, for if you live by it, it dictates it, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit that you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, you are children of God. And notice verse 15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. I told Pastor Austin first service, I had no idea he was going to sing that song, but spot on, because it goes right up with this verse. We've not received a spirit that makes us fearful slaves. Instead, we have received God's Spirit when he's adopted us as his own children, because he gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And now we can just kind of crawl up in his lap and we can call him Abba Father. We can tell him how much we love him. We can kind of give our issues to him, our life's problems with him. What an incredible gift we've been given through Jesus Christ. One more passage, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. And then notice, as you've accepted this gift and you begin to unwrap it and you begin to embrace it, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Your faith, it'll grow strong in truth in what you were taught, and you will overflow with this gratitude, this thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with the empty philosophies of today and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and the head over every authority. Because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, because of his life, because of his ministry, because of his death, because of his resurrection, because of who he is, the gift that God gave to you and I, we have this authority inside of our lives, this power, this life, this equipping, this joy. Wow, aren't you thankful for the perfect gift of Jesus Christ? I never want it to get old. I don't ever want to take that gift for granted. I never want to take the gift of Jesus for granted. I don't want to wake up one morning and not call upon him. I don't want to not go to my scripture. I don't want to not go to worship, not out of redundant routine, but out of a relationship. I don't want to ever walk through a day and say, oh my goodness, I forgot to talk to the Lord today or think about the Lord today. Every time I walk outside, I want to be able to see the beauty of its creation as if it was the first time, because it's an incredible gift that I did not deserve. I didn't deserve it. It's like getting one of those gifts like, whoa, I was not expecting that, right? I mean, in our minds, I don't know what you're thinking right now. Maybe you're a kid and you got this big old bike and you got up in that morning and there it was under the tree and you're thinking to yourself, I was not expecting. Now, some of you were spoiled and you were expecting too much. But then others of you, you were like, I was not expecting that. Or that big old huge dollhouse, or that big old Tonka truck toy, or just that whole big pile of little cars, little hot rod cars. I mean, you're like, man, I was not, that's a little bit overboard. Wow, mom and dad, this is the greatest Christmas ever. You know what I mean? I want that same childlike faith to be inside of me when I think about the gift of Jesus Christ, the most perfect gift, that no matter what I face as a child or an adult, I always have that gift that I can embrace and say, thank you for helping me throughout this day. Amen. It is an everlasting gift. It is an everlasting gift. His love, his mercy, his goodness, the way he puts up with you and I. Because when we do take it for granted, the gift keeps on loving us, right? When we only call out to it when we're in desperate need, the gift still loves us and is still there. The gift of Jesus Christ. So this morning on this Christmas Sunday, I really have just one go, and that is to intrigue your mind and ask you the question. I know you're generous, and I know you're givers, and I know you don't want to be takers in life. I know for most of us, it's hard to receive. It's hard to receive sometimes. But I pray that everyone here will receive that what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life, not just today, but in this season of your life. I pray that you're ready to receive what Jesus has for you. I pray you're ready to receive that inexpressible joy and that peace that only he can give. I hope it means something when we say it, because we say it often, especially this time of year. Our prayer really is that you can sit around the table this week in the living room and whatever it is you gather. Our prayer really is, I think you guys are going to Colorado. Man, how awesome is that? Let's go. Let's go skiing next year. Y'all want to go skiing next year? Okay, anyway, amen. I received that word. All right, now. Our prayer really is for you, that there's a joy inside of you, that no matter what you've been carrying, you feel that joy. You can even laugh, and you can embrace one another, and you can slow down. You kind of turn everything off, and you can just say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in my life and in my family. Our prayer for you is that you can receive what God has for you, that inexpressible joy, that peace that passes all understanding, that strength, that comfort, that direction, that clarity, that healing, that restoration. Wow, I'm so tired of the enemy winning in families, tearing them apart, ripping them apart. I'm so sick of that. I'm just praying we see the power of God where families are restored in Jesus' name, amen? Restored in his name, restored in his power. To him be all the glory. May we see some of that restoration. May we see some of that reconciliation take place in our lives, amen? May we walk and live what we preach about and what we teach about and what we read in our scriptures, amen? Because when we think about that gift of Jesus, there's all of that to receive, because he truly comes to help us in every area of our life. I pray that you receive just that gift that's going to give you that new song that we read about in Scripture, give you that life of hope. I have no doubt that as we get ready to pray, somebody needs to not just receive, because I think probably almost every person in here has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're here to worship him here on this Christmas Sunday. But I pray you can just really take some time and unwrap what he has for you today. Take some time and allow Jesus to minister to your soul. Because there are those that are hurting here today. Some of you have been walking in darkness, and I want to get very pointed with you, and maybe I shouldn't on Christmas Sunday. I don't want to zap the joy out of anybody. I want you to be free today. Some of you in your spousal relationships, it's horrible, and you need to let the Lord do a work today. Just your pastor speaking to you. This is more than a holiday for me. It's a celebration of life. It's a celebration of victory. It's a celebration of power. It's a celebration of the darkness being defeated. Yeah. It's a celebration of salvation and forgiveness and restoration. It's a celebration of eternal life and eternal hope. It's a celebration of who Jesus is and what he's doing every single moment of our lives. And I believe all of us can walk in the victory that Jesus gives us. Amen. Amen. I pray that this morning, I know you've got a full day ahead of you. Your festivities are probably already getting ready to begin. You're getting ready to load up in the car, take off. And whatever it is you do, may God's peace, his hand, his provision, his protection be upon you. You got a full week. I know some of us, we're going to be working hard this week, and then we're going to take some time off. I pray just God's blessing and favor goes with you. But today on this Christmas Sunday, in his house, can we receive what he wants to pour into us?